Welcome to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson, a space designed to help you create amazing relationships with yourself and others. Get ready to experience hope, love, and inspiration. Here's your host, Kim Wilson.
Hi, I'm Kim Wilson. Thank you for joining me today. We're talking financial relationships. Meet Ayikile Devi, an author, speaker, and legacy advancement innovator. Self-described as fortune-optimizing enthusiast, she has gained valuable wisdom from a successful international career in finance for over 20 years, holding financial service credentials and leadership positions within top organizations. Currently, Ayikile works as founder and CEO of Crown Estates, LLC, a legacy advancement firm, as a trailblazer in the field of wealth and legacy development. Her life's work is to help motivate people to beat financial disappointment and to win at last with their finances and with their most cherished personal relationships. As a wife and mother of two, Mrs. Devi welcomes family and friend time, triathlon training, and travels to beach or ski trips. Her favorite motto is a Zen saying, "Leap and the net will appear." Ayikile Devi, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Yay. Thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate and I'm honored to be here with you today.
So, Ayikile, I like to just dive right in. Where I want to go to first is this phrase, this term, legacy advancement innovator. What is that?
Oh, wow. First of all, Kim, I just want to thank you so much for having me on today. I just am so thrilled. You work in the relationship space, and whenever I get a chance to talk about the intersection of money and relationships, I'm there. So thank you for having
me.
So legacy advancement innovator, I had to create it. Do you know that time when you're getting your new business cards and you're trying to find that right term to, you know, just explain to people what you do? So I went over a few terms, and you may even remember I called myself a financial therapist, financial strategist. These terms just weren't quite hitting. And then I really sat back and had to think, okay, what is it that I really want people to get out of working with me? And the big picture to me is legacy. I can't think of any other way that is appropriate to describe what's important when it comes to money and relationships. So legacy advancement innovator, I coined the term and I said, you know what? That's what it's going to be. So that's kind of the genesis of how I came about it.
Okay. You know, what I really like, when you felt like something did not fit, you created it. And that's what I'm talking about. And I think that is amazing, because we don't always have to embrace or take labels that others have created. We get to design our own label. And I think that's powerful within itself.
You are so right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just so people know, I want my amazing listeners to know that you and I, we initially met through a professional organization, and that's where we developed our relationship. We took our relationship to the next level through the work that you do, being, you know, just purposely and intentionally helping people to advance their finances, to understand their finances. When you say legacy development, and I pair that with the term legacy advancement innovator, how does all that kind of work together when we think about our financial relationship, the relationship that we have with our money? Because that seems to be that's a big topic, and people don't always want to talk about it. They don't always want to get personal.
Yes, and I empathize with a lot of people. Our first examples are in our home. in terms of where we find out how our relationship is with money. And for most, and I'll just keep it to Americans, most Americans don't have the best experience growing up with money. And in terms of education, if we don't get it in the home, when we go to school, there isn't really a support system set up there as well where we can get some sort of financial literacy. And then we're expected, you know, when we turn 18 to go out, work, but then we have this huge gap between, you know, what we know and what we should know about money and how to have skills to manage the money that we work for. And when it comes to the relationship that people have with money, a lot of it can be very challenging because you're forced to worry about the short term. So you got to pay the bills, you know, for this month. And where I see a lot of neglect is the long-term view in terms of, okay, after this month is taken care of, what about 5 years from now? What about 10 years from now? A lot of neglect is what I find in terms of the long-term view. And legacy to me means, you know, 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, what's going to matter then? And really helping people to understand taking care of the short term and not neglecting the long term is what is going to really make the difference in how your relationship with money plays out.
Taking care of the short term and not neglecting the long term.
Correct.
I like that. So I know that you say first generation wealth is set to get lost within three generations. That makes you take a sigh.
I think even repeating that so that people can really just let that sink in, that three generations is just grandma to granddaughter. That's three generations. And what happens is, this generation of, you know, wealth creators are everyday people. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the average person sees themselves in that light. And when I speak of fortune and wealth, I'm speaking about any money that you possess. It doesn't have to be, you know, $10 million yet. It could just be that $30,000 you're bringing home. How do you perform with that $30,000? That's your wealth. That's your fortune. And so, yes, three generations, people who do accumulate, let's say, millions of dollars or even less, end up losing all the accumulation after that grandchild has taken possession of it.
You know, I heard you give this speech once, and you told a story in the speech about the grandmother being able to buy her groceries. Do you remember?
I remember. Oh, yes, I remember. I'm happy that it touched you as well to remember it.
Yeah, and the way you said that story of, I don't know if, you know, and that, I probably heard her do that speech maybe a year ago, and I don't even know if it's reaching just to kind of summarize. Are you able to summarize the story of that speech?
That story, sure. I'll try to sum it up. I was grocery shopping one day, and I happened to not have the children that day, so I had more, you know, awareness of what was going on in the aisles, and I came across this woman. I took her for my grandmother, essentially. And what struck me was the moment that she pulled out a wet mop from a mop bucket and started to mop the floor. And instantly, I was just taken aback. I mean, this woman, you know, nice round face, smile, but she had to be in her 70s or 80s. And then I said to myself, she shouldn't be here. This is somebody's grandmother. And the only reason she is here because she has to be here. And that was my inspiration for that speech, was that what is going on that we have, you know, a 70-plus year old who is likely a grandmother, who is in, you know, the grocery store mopping. What? How does it get to that? And it's just, even I just feel the emotions coming up just remembering it. But it's one of those things that's a wake-up call that I see that really helps me get up every day and do what I do. So, that's
and
what
when
touched
I hear
me
that,
about it.
And, you know, Ivy Galay, when I hear that story, that phrase stands out in my mind, legacy advancement, which is one of the reasons why we are doing this podcast, to advance the legacies of families, to move beyond that mop bucket, to plan better, to understand what you have and to use it well. Talk a little bit about how $1 million have passed through our hands.
Sure. I research in terms of doing, you know, the work that I carry out, just to get a sense of where Americans are with their finances. Now, the Census Bureau does a work-life study, and in short, if you have a bachelor's degree, you're expected to earn at least $2.4 million in your working career. And so with that, let's say if you didn't know that or if you never thought about it before, that is just from work alone. And now after, let's say you're made aware of that, the follow-up question that I think of is, where will that money go? And really getting people to just understand that we all have choices, and our choices are cumulative. And in essence, you know, they add up. Every little bit adds up. And then when we speak about legacy advancement, the advancement part really speaks to, there should be an upward trajectory from family, you know, mother to child, and then on and on and on. It should be an upward trajectory. But what I find is that either it stays, you know, a straight line, or most circumstances it goes down. It's a downward trajectory, and it doesn't have to be that way. And I'm so amped up about it, like people just looking at their day-to-day and caring enough to say that, what is going to matter 20 years from now? And then working backwards and saying, okay, if this is what's going to matter, and I have three categories. One is the space that you work in is our personal relationships. You know, that includes our relationship with ourselves, our family, and then ultimately society. Our money, our bank account is going to be so paramount in terms of caring for ourselves as we age, being able to leave something behind instead of that next generation starting from scratch. And then our fitness. This is the only body that we have. And if you're up in age and your body is not in its, you know, the top shape to support having the old age, it's not going to be such a great experience. So, you know, our health, money, and relationships, I mean, that's pretty much the top three. I mean, that's how, and I approach it like that, and I try to do today what is going to be the best outcome for those three areas down the line.
Right. So our health, money, and relationships, and I heard something powerful in all of that too. You said our choices add up, and the choices from all of those areas, it makes a difference. And if we are not paying attention, we can hit that wall of financial disappointment. And so what you said at the beginning of all of that, you said that study that you read, there's a census out there. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of that census you mentioned. But it was based on people who have a bachelor's degree. They are expected to earn $2.4 million throughout their working career. Do I have that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So the thing is, I think a lot of people, by the time they go to college, earn a degree, at the start of all of that, they're thinking, I'm going to graduate, have a college degree, and be okay financially. Mm-hmm. And then they graduate, and they have children, they get married or have children, and they look around, and they're struggling like a person who may not have an advanced degree, because even if you don't have an advanced degree or a degree, you can still do well when you plan it, when you know how to budget your money. And so I certainly have learned having a degree don't guarantee financial
Correct.
Or mobility.
You are so, you're on point with that one, yes.
Yes, I mean, so I do know a lot of people with degrees and advanced degrees and who live like the working poor, where they're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, that phrase that we
mm-hmm.
use.
Yep.
But nobody knows, because it's covered by the car they drive or their zip code, their address. But it's no different than a person who makes $25,000 a year and trying to feed a family of five. So, you know, when you see somebody, they have done all this work, they have all this education, and they are grounded and financial disappointment, how do they win? Because a lot of people can feel defeated, like, you know, and I think they just feel down on themselves because they are thinking, wait a minute, I went to school, I have $80,000 worth of student loans to prove it, and I am drowning in debt.
Mm. It could be very discouraging. Mm-hmm. And exactly like you said, you feel like you've done everything right. So when you find yourself asking, how did I get here? It's just a huge challenge and sometimes a drawback, because the financial situation is already a challenge, but then you have that beating up of yourself happen that doesn't help anything either. So, mm-hmm. you know, you get on yourself, and then you're just even further behind because, you know, emotionally, mentally, you're, you know, doubting your next move, you know, anxious about the next day. And the people that I've had success in terms of working with and pulling themselves out of a mess, the deciding factor that I would pinpoint is this. They decide that it's a must that they get out of their circumstances. I'll go into it a little bit. A lot of people have the desire, I believe, to, of course, you know, be in a better financial position, you know, meet the love of their life, you know, go to school and get a degree. So the people that I see go from that just being a desire and, you know, maybe just being interested in it to, you know what, no matter what, this is a priority, I'm focusing on it, no matter what, I'm going to do what it takes. That's what I see as being the quality that can, you know, put you on that path to turn things around. And you may see that as well in the work that you do, that a lot of the times, you know, people do have to hit rock bottom. And I've shared with you my personal experience with that as well. So there is hope. But what I think is off a lot of the times is your sacrifice has to align with what you're trying to achieve. Does that make sense?
Your sacrifice has to align with what you're trying to achieve. So when I hear you say that, what I hear is you may have to give up something. in order to gain something. Okay.
Yes. And you talked about it when you mentioned people's cars or zip codes may cover the reality. And therein lies that place of sacrifice that some people have not reached yet, that they're willing to shed or, you know, let go. And yes, the facade, sometimes they'll fight more for that than to be free from, you know, their circumstances. Do you know what I mean?
They'll fight more for that.
Because that image, I mean,
yes.
That image sometimes is a lot, and it may be soothing to a certain extent to make things feel like it's not so bad. And I get it. But when you go home and look in that mirror and you see that the bills piling up on the kitchen table, when is it going to be enough? You know, and I think people who get to the point where enough is enough, those are the people that change and then make things happen and turn things around. You know, like money, I grew up with it. Like, I'm comfortable with money. And I really love speaking to people about money because I never know the depths of the fear and the anxiety that people have. So when I'm introduced to it, I like to, like, infuse that it's not – like, you're not the first person dealing with this in the history of the world. Like, we can get over this. But when I meet people, sometimes they really – come from a place that this is insurmountable. So I like to let people know that, no, you're not alone. You're not the first person. You're not the last person. Like, this can be resolved. But what it's going to take is a commitment, you know, an effort to get it done.
Yes. And, you know, and what I hear in all of that, too, if you know that you have had challenges with managing your money, or you're not as financially literate as you would like to be, it's okay to raise your right hand to say, I need help.
Yeah.
You know, and really letting go of the shame, because shame is debilitating, and we can have shame in that area as well. When when I partnered with Ayikule and she helped me, because as a business owner, there were some internal controls that I did not have in place. And she was able to come in and put a label to all of that and say, hey, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. I recommend, I suggest you do this, you do that. And it wasn't as scary. And for a long time, I just did not want to think about those things. But when you want to grow, not only financially, personally, professionally, whether you have a business or not, you have to have organization in that area of your life, because it really does impact your physical area, your emotional well-being, and just kind of having a peace of mind when it comes to your finances. It makes a difference, because people do get stressed out. Some people have committed suicide just because of their financial priorities were not in order, and they felt like they could not handle it. It made them feel like a failure.
Yes, yes.
As we work to beat financial disappointment and to advance our legacy, what else can we do? I know we can make better choices because our choices add up. We can ask for help. Is there anything else somebody, just a regular person who's listening today, and they're saying, you know what, things, they are in a mess with me right now. What is something that people can do today?
The first thing is to find your breath and take at least 3 deep breaths. And I know that it sounds like it may be insignificant, but what it does is to let you know that you still have breath in you. And you want to operate from a position of power. And I know when I take a deep breath that I get to be centered and get back out of the craziness that may be going on in my mind. And even if it still is going on in my mind, it's quieted just a little bit lower, you know. So take a deep breath. whatever your spirituality is, I would do prayer then. And I'm big on getting you to understand in your mind that you're not starting from scratch. So I know a practice that I have is I have a gratitude journal, and I also remind myself of my past accomplishments.
Yes.
Because a lot of the times we accomplish things and we bypass and go on to the next, and we kind of just, you know, overlook the celebration factor. Okay. And I'm going to tie it in for you to say that if you feel like you're starting something for the first time, you will have a bunch of nerves and you will have that feeling of, oh, my God, this is new. But what your past accomplishments allow is for you to stack and understand that, no, I've already done something in my life where I've overcame a challenge. So this new challenge, I'm bringing in some experience to this. This is maybe a new in terms of a specific experience, but it's not new in terms of you conquering something that was challenging. So the one thing that I would actually recommend people to do is work on looking back at what you've already done in your life, whether you've graduated, whether you've helped your child graduate, whether you've helped that person on the line at the grocery store bag their, you know, groceries, or whatever it is in terms of an accomplishment. Pull from where your accomplishments were in the past. And to me, that's the ideal starting point for you tackling this new challenge of, you know, getting your finances in order. And it works. It does work, because this is the starting point that I try to get people who, you know, are at that place when they are trying to turn things around. Because our self-image is hands down our most valuable asset.
I love that.
It just is. I mean, I hate to just come, like, that's how I see it, and I'm sure other people can maybe have a different view, but when I've seen, and I don't know, just based on my experience, I see our self-image is so paramount in us starting and how we perform in life in general. So if we have any cracks in that self-image when you're starting something, we can fortify it. We can build it up. But the only way to do that is to give ourselves credit for what we've already done.
Yes.
So that's the starting point. And then I would say this day and age, there is no lack of resources. So go online, go to seminars, read books. There is really no lack of directions you can turn to. Find out your best learning style. I listen to audiobooks. Some other, you know, other people you might like to sit in a seminar. Match your way that you're going to get educated about it, and just go to the library, get a book. There's no lack. So I don't think I even have to go that next step with where to turn. You're just going to have to get out there and immerse yourself and treat it as a priority.
Yes, you know, the reason I just love the feedback that you just gave, because it is a goal that somebody can create today that is smart. And the way we define smart goals now as just being able to measure it and making sure that we can achieve it, it's attainable. I mean, breathe. We can. Did we do that? We can measure that.
You're right.
Yes.
Exactly.
I did it.
Just, yeah, you did it.
I did.
And make it a ritual. Yes.
Yes. I mean, gratitude, looking at what I do have, that's starting where I am. I can do that today. I can actually create a list and be thankful for everything that I have and everything that I have achieved. Because what I'm doing in that moment is I'm spending time celebrating me and not beating myself up and not living in financial disappointment. I am acknowledging that I have done some things well. I can do that today. That's wonderful.
Yes, Kim.
Yes. And then when you say look at what you have done, you can, that's easy. We can do that. I mean, because if you would have given some steps like, okay, now I want you to pull all your statements, statements for the yes. past 24 months. Man, you know what? I'll do that on Saturday. That's going to take me, you know.
Exactly. And you
too
will.
Big for some people. Yes.
Yes.
That's going to be too big. So,
yes.
You, and that's what I like about this. It's something that you can do today and resources. I mean, we spend so much time a lot of times on social media looking at what everybody else is doing, what they're posting, when just something as simple as signing up for an audiobook. You know, there are so many, you can even do a 30-day free subscription just to see if you like it. And while you're driving to work, getting ready in the morning, you can actually feed your brain with a resource on how to pull, on how to pull yourself up or out of financial disappointment.
So
I mean,
right.
And what Ayikale is talking about today, and I really want our listeners to get this, because it's about generational progress. I mean, if you have a grandmother or grandparents that had the mop bucket, the mop in their hand at the age of 70, I want our children to have the leadership pen, the power in their hand at the age of 70, and that's what it means to level up and to
yes.
have advanced the legacy. And I thank you, Ayikale, for the work that you're doing in this area, because it is important. I mean, because a lot of times when you don't feel good emotionally, it's hard to get the motivation just to do something physically.
It's
and
so
all
true.
Of those areas, are, yes. And I was wondering myself, like, wait a minute, I happen to know that Ayikale participated in a triathlon. She said, you know, the area of fitness. I'm like, well, wait a minute, hold on. Ayikale, how do you have time?
Yes. It ties in so much. I mean, I know I could just mention that I completed my first triathlon in April. You know, we spoke about it and how excited I am to have, you know, done that, because it was a goal that was 3 years ago that I had set. And, you know, sometimes things don't come to fruition. It takes months or maybe even years. Mm-hmm. But the way it ties into what we've been speaking about in terms of legacy advancement, my mother completed her first triathlon last year. And she inspired me to take this on as something to do as well. And we both completed the triathlon together this year. So in terms of legacy advancement, I mean, in terms of health and fitness, and my mom is big into health. Like, she's just all over in terms of, you know, keeping care of your body and just your spirituality. So even furthering not just the money, because a lot of people only focus on the money, but being able to participate in that triathlon with her and us have our weekends of training, our phone calls about how do we get our swimming right, you know, just the bond that we were able to strengthen going through this experience was just, you know, I can't even, I don't know the words to say. It's just so valuable. So yes.
So, Ayikale, for the people who don't know, what is a triathlon?
Okay, a triathlon is, it's considered a multi-sporting event, and it consists of swimming, biking, and running, in that order, usually. And triathlons, they go from beginner distances, like the one that I completed, and they go even as high as what's considered an Ironman race, where that one takes, let's say, up to 17 hours. You have to complete it. I think it's 2.4 miles of swimming. You have to do a marathon for the run part, and the biking, I think, is 112 miles. So that's the ultimate level of triathlon. But on my level, it was an introductory triathlon where it was in a pool. You know, I didn't have to swim in the ocean, which was nice. And also, I know in speaking to people, sometimes people may not be strong in one of the three. So on Sunday of that weekend, I completed a relay where the person I did a relay with, she did the swim and bike, and I did her run. So there's some nice flexibility in terms of, let's say, if someone was interested in getting into it and they felt stronger in, let's say, one of the disciplines, they can even decide, okay, I'll team up and maybe I don't have to do the three to start, you know? But overall, it just took, you know, a few months of training, you know, setting, making the decision to actually commit to the race. And then, I mean, nothing can explain the feeling when you're crossing the finish line and they drape the medal over your neck. Like, it's just,
wow.
It's empowering. And one thing I would say, Kim, is, oh my gosh. So what I've learned is when you challenge your body and you take it through grueling, you know, training, when in my life, when I'm dealing with certain circumstances and work, things felt a little easier because in comparison, it's like when I got back to work, I'm like, oh, I just have to do this. I don't know. It made me feel like I was able to conquer things more because I put my body through so much in the training.
Wow.
So that, I would say, was a huge intangible that I wasn't anticipating that really to help, you know, my overall life. And the other thing I'll say quickly is in terms of eating. So I don't know, do you ever like mop the floor and right those few days after you mop the floor, you feel like you're more sensitive about getting on it? And like, I know with the kids, I'm like, okay, let's keep this floor clean, you know? When I was working out and doing the training, I noticed that I would make healthier food choices because I almost didn't want to like mess up my training.
Right.
Like going to go eat something, you know, and mess it up, you know? So there are some intangibles that I really got to experience that wasn't just about doing the triathlon that I'd really, you know, I am a promoter of it now. And we have a group in Atlanta called the Atlanta Tri-Sisters. So doing it with a group of women as well was just, I mean, you have that group bond that made it, you know, an over-the-top experience as well. So, yeah, I could go on and on, Kim, but I know
I do want to get to your mother participating in the triathlon last year because I remember you sharing with me she did not know how to swim. Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
And I really want our listeners to get that.
Okay, yes. So my mother had a paralyzing fear of swimming and to the point where it was, I guess, back in the day, swimming was a requirement in school. So I think maybe in middle school or high school, she just had to jump in. It didn't go well. They had to throw her the rope. And after that, you know, her whole adult life, she was, you know, had the fear of swimming. And it's a pretty common fear. I mean, a lot of people, even if they don't have a bad experience, may still have that fear. And so last year, or probably, you know, sometime before last year, she made a decision that she wanted to get over this fear. And it ties back to money, too. Is another thing is sometimes it really just takes you making a decision. And that decision could be so powerful. And then things come into your life to kind of make things easier for you to accomplish this thing. So long story short, she took a beginning swimming class and I remember just speaking to her because at that time I still had a fear of deep water, like jumping in, let's say, a 12-foot pool. So I loved when she got out of her swim classes, she would call me and say, oh, my God, like I had to jump in today. And lo and behold, she took the beginning swim class. She was jumping in 9 feet of water and she overcame her fear of swimming. And I mean, she downplays it so much and I still am astounded that, you know, to be in her 60s and become for the first time, you know, a competent swimmer after having a paralyzing fear of it, to me is just like so inspirational. And that was a lot of what wanted, you know, drew me into wanting to do this event with her as well. So then she went on last year to complete her first triathlon.
I hear so many nuggets inside of that. Number one, you're never too old to do anything. This amazing woman was in her 60s when she learned how to swim. And when I hear that, I hear somebody who made a choice to operate inside of love, the love for herself instead of fear. I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm afraid it won't work out. Mm-mm. She said, I can and I will. And secondly, Ayikale, she talks about optimizing influence on family dynamics. When Ayikale's mother made that decision to do something powerful like that, that was direct influence over Ayikale, because Ayikale turned around and did it the next year. You talk about legacy advancement, and now Ayikale's daughter, she gets to see the pictures, she gets to hear her mother's experience, and now it's already, a seed has already been planted inside of her, because now she has two generations before her that has completed a triathlon. That's what this is about. It's not too late. It's not too late. So even if you're looking around, your money is not right, your relationship with your family members are not right, just do something positive and share with them what you did. Because her mother, she went out there to the class and called and said, this is what I did today. Just a phone call.
Yes.
Just sharing.
Yes.
That didn't cost a thing.
You're right.
And that's how
Kim,
we do it.
You summarize it so lovely, and I can't go without saying this part, that two generations have now turned into three, because now my daughter was inspired and influenced, and this August she's training to complete her first triathlon at eight years old.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
So, yes, the power. Yes. And that's the thing. After you, then you open up the world to influence others. And to me, that is like what is more powerful? You know, like, I just get goosebumps right now as I'm speaking of this, because that's what legacy is all about. You get yourself right first, and mm-hmm. then it's unlimited in terms of your influence. And
yes.
Yep.
You know, I told Ayikale, now, where this is, this triathlon, is it held in the same location every year?
Yes, this triathlon is called St. Anthony's Triathlon. It's located in St. Petersburg, Florida. And it happens, it's usually one of the first triathlons to kick off in the country, and it's in April. So it's usually, and I know next year it's that last weekend in April. And, you know, people, your listeners can look online, just look up St. Anthony's Triathlon, and I mean, you're in Florida, you have the nice warm weather after, you know, the winter being cooped up, and just going down there with the palm trees, it's just a nice experience.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I certainly plan to be in St. Petersburg next year, cheering on all the participants.
Woo-hoo!
Hopefully, you know, hey, you know, one day the day may come where I may actually get into it, but I'm going to take the first step and be there, you know, to witness it. I'm going
to witness it. I hear you.
It. Yes. And, you know, before we go, I want people to know, I'm not sure if we mentioned your book at the beginning, but Ayikale is an author, and I want you to tell our listeners the name of your book and where they can find it.
Oh, sure. It's called Best Spender, How Not to Lose Your Next Million. And it opens up with the question that we spoke about, the $2.4 million you will receive or will likely receive in your lifetime, and where will it go? And the book talks about my personal challenges with finances, being a financial professional. And it's a book of redemption. And the main point that I see my book communicating is really, no matter where you are today, you can do something. And it can be the thing that turns everything around. So like we spoke of earlier, taking that commitment, the decision, and then being resourceful, that's what it's all about. So it's not really where you start, it's where you end up, you know. So that's, I thank you for, you know, allowing me to share Best Spender. And I have the book in paperback, in ebook form, and I just recorded the audiobook version, which is scheduled to be out on Audible and all the other platforms this June.
Fantastic.
So, yes. I know that I'm big into audiobooks, so I was really excited at the opportunity to actually record the book. So if you're looking for a resource, that's a resource you can use as well.
Where can people find you if they wanted to take advantage of the financial services that you offer?
Sure. People can visit Master My Millions, and that's millions with an S, .com. And I have there my book and information about my book and then other services as well. So mastermymillions.com.
Yes. Now, Ayikele, she is a professional speaker. She does private group coaching. Quality cost. And let me just go ahead and tell you, okay? Quality cost. Because when you pay for quality, it continues to give and give and give. If you are a person, you feel like you need some financial coaching, you need some help, I have used Ayikele services. I will use her services again in the future because she is a professional through and through. And let me just tell you, I love you dearly for that, sister.
Aww,
so that's right.
Ditto. I love you too. And just us being able to bond and support each other, you know, in terms of our life purpose and what speaks to our heart is just amazing. I know. So it's just an honor to be here with you.
Well, thank you. For anybody that's looking to beat financial disappointment and you're ready to invest your money in another area, when I say invest your money in another area, I'm talking about your personal development. So there's a saying, buddy up so you can go up, and I consider Ayikele my buddy up, honey. I buddy
yes,
up.
Yes, yes, yes. We are buddies through and through, yes.
Ayikele, baby, we did it. We did
it. We did it, yes. Thank you so much for having me, Kim.
You're welcome, and thank you. Listen, if you want more, I have more. The only thing you have to do is log on to www.kwspeaks.com. Once you get to my website, click on the right-hand side where you see Contact Us and get on my email list if you're not on it. It will be my pleasure to serve you. Onward, upward, and beyond.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson. Want more? Visit kwspeaks.com. That's kwspeaks.com for the latest inspirational blogs.